Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing. We're so excited to share with you the news. Our fifth book in the number one international best-selling series, Ready, Aim, Influence, just won the prestigious ELIT Book Award for Literary Excellence. To celebrate over the next few weeks, we are bringing you an encore of some of the top experts in the book. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Publish Magazine and Broadcast, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And today I am so thrilled because all the way from Europe, we have Marcia Wright with us. Marcia is a successful business owner and entrepreneur with interests in publishing, media, software, business services, high-end consultancy, and mentoring. She is known as an in-demand speaker, business guru, mentor, presenter, and an author. A good portion of Marcia's consultancy is business mentoring to existing business owners and people who want to build their own business. Marcia says, "My hook is great. I turn normal people into well-known experts. I teach them how to manufacture buzz and then create a business around that niche and then create $250,000 a year in income. If people work my system works." Marcia was a school dropout with no real qualifications, sexually abused as a young girl, and spending most of her teen years in children's homes. She is a perfect rags-to-riches story. Attractive, outspoken, and inspirational, Marcia's a force to be reckoned with, and you want her in your corner to help you be successful. She and her husband, Simon Wright, started their journey to financial freedom in 1998. Since Marcia has been CEO of a number of businesses, has had the number one show on iTunes, has directly mentored, being heard, and influencing millions on TV and through radio and national and local newspaper and magazine spreads. And she is a force to be reckoned with in the most wonderful way. Marcia, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure joining you for this fantastic interview. Very, very big pleasure of mine.
You know, I wanted to start by you sharing a little bit about the heart and core of your message, but then we'll go into how it all came about, a little bit about your history. But first, share what is really the heart and core of your message?
I really feel that the heart of what I'm really about is that everybody can do something that changes this world. Everybody has the ability in them, a special diamond, a special thing that's in them to be a magnificent human being and to achieve incomparable levels of excellence. And I feel that so many people want to be able to do that, but unfortunately they get bogged down or they maybe don't know how to do it. They don't know how to apply it or how to tap into that. That amazing magnificence that was placed in them. And I really feel that that's the gap that I try to fill, to really help people to find their purpose in the element, especially in the element of business, and what they can do that is so special and so amazing that can help change and develop this world into being an amazing place, a much better place.
You know, you have done such an amazing job of that, and you have contributed so much worldwide. I was wondering, Marcia, I know you've shared with me some of the challenges you've had, and you're pretty open about it because you really feel that it will help provide others with hopefulness that maybe are not at a place where they've overcome some of their challenges. So could you share a little bit about your history and some of the really unique challenges that you ran into?
Yeah, sure. I mean, really and truly, people really look at who I am today and what I have accomplished today. And that all looks glitzy and glittery. Everybody knows I love shoes. I love fashion. I love that kind of stuff. But, you know, where was everybody and where was I when it really all got started? I mean, you know, I was from a single parent household and so many people are. My mom did the best that she could. And my dad had been arrested and put into prison when I was 5 years old. So my mom was really trying to raise us and do the best that she could. I'm the baby of three children. And I guess, you know, when you're in that situation, there's a lot of things that could have gone right. And I guess did, but a lot of things went wrong. And, you know, I guess some of the lowest points of my life were definitely feeling that I couldn't control what was happening to me. And, you know, I had numerous instances instances of being sexually abused by friends of the family and family members. And I had several instances of issues with being in and out of children's homes, being beaten up. I was nearly killed at least one time by a gang of youths as well, and, you know, kicked out of schools and all the rest of it. So it's like I had so many bad stuff happening to me. I was in children's homes from I was 12, 13 years old. And, you know, just was never really settled. And it's because all of this stuff happened to me and I really didn't know how to deal with it. So I went kind of to the left in really how to deal with it. And it just took some time for me to really get back on that right road. And I'm really glad that I did it. But I know that there's a lot of people who haven't overcome that. And for me, going from that difficult background and so many things, so many ticks in the box of me not becoming anybody who could help change the world and who could become an inspiration to others and who could become successful, there were so many things against me to be able to even become who I am today. It's just amazing to me, and I thank God for the ability to become who I am and tap into who I was meant to be, because there were so many things against me being able to do that. And I'm also glad because I have a healing inside of my spirit that is so much better than what I've been through, so I can talk a lot more openly about it and share my experiences with people so that they can understand, hey, look, okay, you maybe wasn't abused, but hey, did you ever have somebody who gave up on you and who said you couldn't become something and you would not be successful? Did you ever have that? And as you're going through that, you can see that there are people out there who are successful, who have had that. But when you've got somebody who's in front of you and says, hey, I'm successful now, but don't forget, you know, what was going on when I only had like $9 a week to live on between me and my husband for food, for petrol, you know, for gas, for all of that, you know, where was everybody then? Nobody really cares about that part, but they care when you become something, because then now you have an opportunity to bring people up along with you.
And you do such an amazingly wonderful job of that, Marcia. Tell me a little bit about what you relied on to survive those challenges that were really, really severe. And then what was the turning point for you to be able to come out of that and turn that around?
I think I've had several turning points, and I think many people experience the same thing. You have different turning points as you go through different things in your life. My turning point from being in children's homes and going through all of that turmoil before I was even, like, you know, this stuff started happening to me when I was 8 years old. So, you know, having those turning points then, I would say, was when I had a social worker who just would, I couldn't shake him. I couldn't get rid of him. And he believed in me, and no matter how much I did to try to, you know, get him to give up on me, because people gave up on me, but I was used that. And the more I did to try to get rid of him, he kind of just never gave up on me. And so that was a turning point. A few years later, I had another social worker who was similar to that. That was another turning point. That person was there for me, and that person also helped me to really gain my faith. And, you know, I'm a born-again Christian and put a lot of stock in my belief in God and his belief in me and my capabilities, and having something bigger than, you know, who I thought I was, because you always have this negative voice. And it reminds me of a book I'm writing at the moment. One of the books I'm writing at the moment talks about that internal voice and how that tries to block you from being successful. And my internal voice is called Doug. And so I always blame Doug, because Doug always wants to keep me negative and keep me focused on what I'm not good at and all these negative feelings and thoughts. But at the same time, I kind of have to say, shut up, Doug, and be focused on the future. And I feel that these were some of the big turning points, really, you know, getting people who really believed in me. And in a sense, they were kind of mentors, but just in a different way than how I mentor people today. But really, just people who stopped and cared enough to just believe in me a little bit and say, you know, you can do something. And, you know, even though I messed up, they were still there for me. So I think I've had several turning points in different areas of my life when I needed them, when I was ready to make those changes, and when I was willing to give commitment, when people were also willing to commit to me and really help me see the way. And I'm very good at taking instruction. So as I became more and more successful, the things that I always did was seek out people who could really guide me in different areas that I didn't understand. But once I understand it and I get it, I'll run with it. And one of the things that my mentors always say to me is they love the fact that they can say to me, do this or do this. And within 24 hours to like a week, it's done. It's not, oh, I was thinking about it or whatever. I just get on with it. And I feel that being a person who's action-oriented, I have no patience. I stand on stage and I say it because God's still not done with me yet, but I don't have a lot of patience. I don't really like waiting for things that I could do quickly. I don't really like to wait for them. So I like to kind of keep things moving. I think that was also an important thing for me, just not having to rely on waiting on other people to be able to be successful and taking my ownership of my future into my hands and starting to go along with it. So sometimes you're responsible for your own turning point and sometimes people help you to get there. But no matter which way you get there, as long as you do, that's just important.
That is so beautiful. So, Marcia, you know, you have definitely triumphed. Despite the many challenges that you had, you have totally triumphed. So tell us a little bit about what that looks like today and how you've been able to develop this powerful platform.
This is what's really amazing. The whole thing about becoming well-known, and I teach a lot about, I have loads of businesses, but the one that I love the most, really, I've got to say, is mentoring and my consultancy businesses. And the reason I love that is because I get to help people switch on that light in their head. It goes, aha, that's how you do it. And so for me, the platform wasn't a deliberate, hey, I want to, you know, do training or I want to do mentoring or whatever. I actually started to develop the platform because I was building my publishing business. And within that, I realized that I needed to grow my publishing business bigger than just me authoring a report for investment and then selling it to individuals. I wanted more people to get access to my message. And one of the most powerful things that I can look back at, and I haven't the hindsight to know the psychology of it, but at the beginning, I didn't really recognize what I was doing, is realizing that the most important and easiest way for you to become more successful is to develop a platform that people can watch you. Now, in today's world, it's a lot easier, but when I started in 2003, you didn't even have Flash installed on computers. When I started doing my radio shows, you know, and I had interviewed people like Robert Kiyosaki, et cetera, and was putting out my radio shows, when I was doing that, like, you didn't have Flash on computers. So when you send people and say, hey, here's a link for you to listen to the latest radio show, they thought it was a virus. So, you know, this is the day when I've been teaching about getting followers from 2004, 2005, and now we have things like Twitter and all these other platforms that you can use as a way of really building yourself and developing your own platform for success. And for me, developing my platform was becoming more well-known myself and people calling me an expert. And I realized, hey, when that person called me an expert, hey, these people flocked to me. I taught them what I knew, and hey, all of a sudden I'm making a lot more money. So instead of being somebody who, you know, at the beginning I was working when I had a job, and I didn't really keep jobs very good, I will admit, but I did have this particular job that jumps to mind, and I was on like £2.90 an hour, which in dollars would work out about around the time about $4.50 an hour. And to go from being that person to be somebody who has clients who sign £400,000, which is like $700,000 consultancy contract, this is a completely different person. And I have to look at it and say, hey, what is that difference in between? What is the gap between that $5 an hour, $4 an hour job and the $700,000 contract where people are paying for my knowledge? There is a gap there, and the gap is building a platform where you are worth knowing and where people can look at you and say, this person has got the knowledge to help me move forward and open doors for me. And that has been really critical for me in my consultancy business, but also building all of my other businesses and being involved in so many businesses has helped me to really grow my knowledge and grow my expertise, so that when I give clients advice, they can go off and make millions. They can go off and make as much money as they want, and they can change the world, and they can do something that is big than just money. Now we're talking about legacy. Now we're talking about developing something that will last longer than the need that you have to pay a bill this month, you know? So for me, I really see the difference between where you want to be. I don't go out of my way to brag about the money that I make. I give the example only so that people can realize that if I could do this, and if I could actually be that girl who has Doug all the time telling me, and I still have Doug, I still have this hate-hate relationship, well, he loves me, relationship with this voice in my head called, this negative voice in my head called Doug. If I can still have this voice that's telling me that I shouldn't be anybody, and I shouldn't do this, and I shouldn't do that, and I'm way out of my league, if I can have that voice and still push through and say, hey, look, there's another voice inside of me that says that I have a purpose here, and I've got something that I need to do, and if I stop doing what I'm doing, I'm going to affect the world, then that gives me that push, and it gives me a whole push to tell people, don't look at it as, oh, well, Marcia can make money, or Marsha can be successful. Let's look at how you can bridge that gap. What's your income ceiling? Where do you want to be? Now let's work on the stuff in between, and I'm going to kick your butt if you don't do it. But we got to work on that stuff in between so we can get you to where you want to be. And so it's all about building the platforms that help you to be seen as more successful in different areas and become more successful in different areas, but be seen. People need to know that you're there. There's no point being the best kept secret. You know, particularly in British culture, as my last point on this, British culture is very rude to brag. I love that, you know, you can pop your collar in America and everything, but in England, it's kind of like seen as, you know, a little bit braggadocious, and it's kind of looked down on a bit. But I think it's really important that if nobody else is going to pat you on the back, I've heard Trump say this, nobody else is going to pat you on the back, pat your own self on the back and let everybody know how fabulous you are. Don't think about the things that are not great about you. Let's think about the things that are great about you, and let's let the world know those things to help you get the platform that you need to develop.
And you are truly magical about getting that message out there, heard for yourself and heard for so many of your amazing clients. So tell me what you think are the most critical ingredients in really making a message magical so it is heard out there.
I really thought about this question because I wanted something that would last longer than the words that I speak. I wanted something that would last and resonate in the minds of your listeners. And the thing that really resonated for me on this question is, above all else, there is one ingredient to be able to guarantee your success. One single ingredient. Now, the ingredient has several components, and it's comprised of different things that make it work. And there's loads of things you can do underneath it, but there is one principal thing that you must absolutely do. And you have to become worth knowing. It is the most powerful thing that you can do. Because nobody will listen to you if you are the most loud and crazy person who you think you've got enough to say. I'll give you an example. We all have that one person in our family who you just kind of hope they don't talk too much when they're out in public with you. What they do on their own is one thing, but what they do when they're with you is kind of like, oh, please don't talk. Now, if that person was more successful and maybe wealthier and, you know, more well-known, and they were on TV all the time, people would indulge that person as much eccentricity that flows like a river from their mouth. They would indulge that more. Now, just as we take that thought, now let's look at you. If you are a person who your customer doesn't perceive to be a valuable person to know, who can help them, who can open doors for them, who can assist them with a particular problem. Because I always say the critical thing that you can do is learn how to solve problems, because you'll never run out of business ideas and you'll never stop making money if you can solve problems. And so my thing is, with this critical ingredient, you have to become worth knowing. And the way to become worth knowing is that you have to really hit your market where they are at, and you have to solve something for them. And you just have to make yourself somebody worth listening to. You have to study. You have to read. You have to do things so you experience. You know, when I have some of my staff work for me, I've been hiring staff since I was like 19, 20. And, you know, I would have staff who would turn around and say to me, oh, well, how do you know so much? Everything I ask you, you've got an answer for it. And it's like, well, the reason I know is because I actually had the same question and I did the research and I figured it out, and I figured out what was the least costly way of doing something. And I had to figure out, because I had financial constraints at the time, so I also had to figure out, you know, how do I do this? What's the best way to do it? Who should I work with? What am I missing? What don't I know? And I always used to have this fear that somebody was going to ask me a question that I didn't know the answer to, because I didn't finish school. You know, I dropped out of school when I was 15. In England, you finish school when you're 16. So I was out of school, I kind of was kicked out of school when I was about 13. Then I had to have homeschooling, and then I went to a tutorial center for naughty kids. But I was properly out of the school system from when I was about 14 years old. And they put me into college, which is not American college like what you start at 18, but it's kind of an upper from the 16-year-old. So I kind of went into there when I was 15 years old, which is a year early, and started to try to learn. I needed to work with adults. But what it really showed me is that really to be able to develop, you know, to start developing and to move yourself to that next level, you've got to do things just in a different way. You can't be focused on, you know, meeting your customers where you are at. You have to hit your customers where they are at. And at that point where I was at, I needed to really realize where my development was, what I wasn't good at, and start asking questions. And I've always been inquisitive. From I was a young child, I've always been inquisitive. I was walking at 6.5 months. So, you know, you have to be able to develop and to move and continue developing, and don't let your age, whether old, young, in between, real or imagined, be something that blocks you from becoming a success. So if somebody said to me, what is the most critical ingredient to becoming successful? I would say the most critical ingredient is absolutely become worth knowing. Be somebody that people want to listen to, and make sure that your message is where your client is at. Identify where they're at, and just really be passionate about what it is that you know about. Don't just be interested in the money. If you're passionate enough and you solve enough problems, you'll make money. You don't have to focus on that.
You know, Marcia, what you do is such great work, and you can tell you do it with powerful passion and sense of purpose. How did you come about deciding to do this great work?
For me, it was a step-by-step process, because when I had started doing my radio show, and the radio show was going really, really well, I would have all these listeners, and I never wanted to do training. I didn't want to do courses. I didn't want to do any of that, because that wasn't what I was set up to do. I didn't want to do that. It wasn't what I aimed to do. But how it happened is that my market, my listeners of my radio show, the people who bought my products and services, they wanted more time with me than they could get from my radio show. They wanted more that they could get from me than what they were able to get through buying a product or a service. So what they wanted is more consultancy time. They wanted mentorship. And when I was going out and I'd be speaking to like hundreds of people and teaching what it was I was teaching, what really became very apparent is that people just wanted more of what I had to say. So really starting the work was something that I can't take 100% credit for, because it was my market saying to me, hey, Marcia, I want more of what you're saying, because the thing that I've always been about, I want to be practical. If I have to kick you up the backside, I'm going to kick you up the backside, because everybody's going to procrastinate a bit. And I want to be able to tell you something so that you don't ever have to rely on anyone else to tell you the way to go. I want you to be able to listen to what I'm saying and then use that information to be able to develop yourself in all different areas and grow and do what you need to do, so you're not dependent on anybody. I teach people how to be independent in the knowledge that they have to take in so that they can continue doing what they're doing. They don't have to sit down and wait on anybody to be successful. So how I really became about doing this is really my customers wanting more from me. And that goes back to the whole point I was saying about become worth knowing, because the more worth knowing you are and the more that you share, you know, the more you put out there, the more people will want. And it will give you products and services that you can sell that are dictated by your clients. So you'll never again launch a product or a service that your customers are not buying, because you'll only ever create things that they want, and it will give you a lot less time in research and development and give you a lot more time at the bank.
That is so incredible. So since your customers actually demanded that you create this platform and this powerful message, how has that changed your life and the lives of others who your message has touched?
It has changed me immensely. It gives me so much hope for what my capabilities are. Anytime that I may stumble or lose faith or be a bit unsure, because I'm human, you know, I have times where I'm on top of the world, you know, feel like $1 million. And then I've got other times where I feel like a dime, you know, and so I have to, what inspires me, because I follow the advice that I give. You know, I don't just tell people stuff and not do it. Anything that I teach somebody or I tell somebody is something that I've had to learn, something from my real life experience, because then I know I'm telling you the truth and I can say to you, hey, do this, this, this. But when da-da-da happens, it's because of this. So this is how you prevent that. So I really like to be a flow of practical information and help. And because I follow my own advice, this has changed my life, because I realize what I do makes a difference. People often ask me, Marcia, how do you get motivated? I can't seem to get myself motivated. And I say, look, motivation is like this. If you're not doing anything, there's nothing to motivate you. However, if you organize something, let's say you go organize an event, and you tell everybody about the event, there's no way on the night of the event you're going to be sitting down as a couch potato watching TV. So to get motivated, sometimes you need to get yourself in doing something and get, you know, get active so that you can develop and that you can continue moving forward. And so for me, it really has been about what I can do to help people's lives and hearing their responses. I mean, anybody going to my website, there's a testimonial page, and anytime I feel like a dime or a quarter or even a dollar, I'll go there, and it reminds me, and I have, like, I do live conference calls with my clients often, and whenever I do those, it just reminds me that I can't stop doing what I do because my life, my breathing, my being here, me sucking up air that somebody else didn't get, I'm here for a reason. I've got to be here for a reason. And when I share what I know and I give people even a little bit of my time and they go away and go, Marsha, what you did for me, man, you turned my life around. You made me realize that I could accomplish this. And, hey, this strategy that you gave me, my sales went up 300%. When I'm hearing that, I realize that that is what I'm here for. And, you know, my mission in life is so much bigger than just me. And I'm so glad to have the opportunity to be able to share my wisdom and to be a kick-ass entrepreneur and share my pearls of wisdom along the way. But it's from my heart and it's from what I've learned. And I'm passionate about people. I wasn't always popular in school. You know, everybody knew me, but I wasn't the popular kid. So, you know, for me, being able to kind of be the popular kid who loves people and who is down to earth and is honest about the way that I feel and how I put myself across and the things that I've gone through, that's important to me, that I can be authentic and stay authentic with who I am as a person and still share, you know, hey, look, I've got weaknesses, I've got things that I've done wrong, but this is what I've done right, and this is advice I can give you, and I don't want you and your family to be broke the rest of your lives, and I want your kids to learn the right way to do things. And so sharing that, it makes a difference. So my message has changed my life because of the lives that I've changed, and it's a big circle that continues to inspire me.
Oh, that is so fabulous, really fabulous. So, Marsha, you know, you're such an expert at getting known today, and the marketplace is so crowded. What do you think are the most important factors, just a couple or three really important factors in being able to get known out there?
Sure. I'd say number one is set yourself apart. Really define who you are, what you're about, and what you're not about. Your niche should be so crystal clear so that when you encounter your market, that they get you straight away. They don't need a whole bunch of explanation. They don't need a whole, you know, class to understand what you're about. You need to define it, redefine it, and make it crystal clear so that when people encounter you, they know, hey, he's the da-da-da guy, or she's the da-da-da girl. They need to be able to do that. And people don't like to be put in boxes, so they don't necessarily have to put yourself in the tiniest box, but you can put yourself in the box that has things underneath it. You know, think about what your niche is. Think about the problems that you solve. When somebody encounters you, what can you do to solve their problem? Because the truth of the matter is people don't care about you. They don't. They care about them. What can you do for me? And this is my experience of the majority of the clients that we deal with. It takes time for you to build a relationship before they care about you. But initially when people encounter you, it's like, hey, so what? What's in it for me? And so I really feel that one of the key things you have to do, number one, is totally set yourself apart. Define who you are. If you know there's something you don't want to be put in a box in, be really clear about it. Hey, I do this and I don't do that. You know, one of the things that I'll say is, hey, I don't do coaching. I'm not a coach. I'm not a life coach. That's not me. I'm not a motivational speaker. That's not me. But what I do helps to motivate people. I do give people advice and mentorship, but I don't do coaching because I always like to separate myself from what I'm up. But it's important to define what you are. I'm an entrepreneur. Part of what I do is mentoring. So it's very important that you also set yourself apart from your competitors, but also set yourself apart in what your clients want so that they can spot you. So that would be the first one. The second one I would say is work with magnifiers, something I call magnifiers, and it's something I cover a lot more on my Business Acceleration Bootcamp, which is one of my events that I regularly do. But on this, what I try to teach people is that you are one person. And no man is an island. You can't do, my husband says, the reason why so many people fail is because they try to be successful as the Lone Ranger. And he wrote an email yesterday, and I was reading it, and he says, you know, we sing along to the James Bond theme, nobody does it better. And we all want to be the one who does it, and we did it, and we did it all by ourselves. But, you know, you can be poor and unsuccessful all alone. To be successful, you need a team. So you need to work with magnifiers who help you to look better and to be better and who pull the best out of you, and also people who can help you spread your message. Because if you're now in the business for 1 year and then you've got 12 or 25 or 100 or 300 people who have been in the business for 10 years and they've got all their contacts, why would you not want to work with those people? So this is why you have to make yourself well known, going back to what I was saying before, because if you contact a magnifier and somebody who can help your brand sound bigger and be bigger and grow bigger, and you haven't really made yourself worth knowing, that magnifier is not going to identify with you and why he or she should work with you. So you have to really make yourself worth knowing, not only for your clients, but also for your peers and people who are ahead of you in your business, in your niche, so that it will help you to work with them and collaborate with them. You should be more interested in collaboration than worried about competition. Don't be stupid, but you know, you have to collaborate with people who can help you to take things to the next level. And that's also your internal team and also your external joint venture partners that you can do with. And so the last one then that I would say is just offer impeccable value. You don't have to be the cheapest. I'm by no means the cheapest in the market for what I do, but I offer such great value that people are happy to keep paying me. And when you are doing what you're doing, you need people to feel that they can't compare you to somebody else, because there is only one you. So you need to make yourself so definably different to other people that you're not going, hey, I'm cheaper than him around the corner. You change your market. You change your offering altogether. Can I give an example here?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I was consulting with, this just jumped to my mind, I was consulting with a couple who had this pizza box importing business, and all the pizza boxes, well, the companies who sold pizza boxes, they sold them in like these quantities of like 200 for this price or 500 for this price. So the only thing you could do is try to outbid them, which would cut their profit margin. So what I basically explained to them is the problem that they're having is they have to go cheaper, but they need to make X amount of profit to be profitable and grow their business. So we realized that in order to do this, we couldn't actually, we're going to have the same offering, but we needed to do a value add with it. So if you're in an industry that it's all about price, you have to try to do a value add that makes the actual product the actual bonus, not the actual thing that people are buying. So what we did with this couple, they were doing the pizza boxes. It was something like $30 for a certain amount, I can't remember the amount, but it was $30, let's say 200 boxes. So what we did is I said, okay, instead of turning around and saying to people, we'll do them for $20, what we're going to do is we're going to say, you're going to offer pizza shops this whole marketing service. And we pieced together these marketing services. It included sending text messages and local promotion and all this other stuff that they were able to outsource all of the work. They didn't have to do any of the marketing, but loads of things that pizza shop owners would actually find valuable but didn't want to do for themselves. So we said, okay, well, for $200 a week, you would have this particular service, this particular marketing service, and we'll also throw in 100, 200, 300 pizza boxes as well. So now they're not looking at the price of the pizza boxes, they're looking at the value of the value add and buying a completely different product and getting free pizza boxes in it as well. So the only thing that was costing them was, I think it was about 20% of the overall cost was the cost for the actual services, which they had to outsource. And then the other cost was the very tiny cost for the boxes itself. But the rest in between, now we're making profit on something completely different. So I was just giving that as an example to say that you have to offer impeccable value and give people open doors, things that will help them to develop. And just think about the customer in the customer's mind, what keeps them up at night, what keeps them hoping for more and needing more, and that will in turn help you to become more successful, because the more you think of the problems that your customers have, and sit down and write a list of your customers' problems, what keeps them up at night, what draws at them at the dinner table, you know, and when you make a solution to that, now you're cooking, now you have a business.
Marcia, that is absolutely brilliant. And, you know, everyone knows you are so brilliant about everything around brand. Can you tell us a little bit about why brand is so important, especially these days?
Well, it's how people identify with you and place a value on you. You know, if you have a wishy-washy brand or a wishy-washy name and you're wishy-washy, then you've got wishy-washy value, you know. You can do more with your peers and more with the world with a stronger, more effective brand that stands for something that people can look at, you know, and people can say, yeah, this is what I need. Without a brand, and it's become so relevant in pop culture, it's become relevant in business, it's not just conglomerates who are thinking about brands. It's not about putting a newspaper ad and just having your face on there and going, you're a reliable local plumber, you know? It's more than that. You know, it's about trying to show people this is what you stand for and aligning what you stand for with what they stand for and what their belief systems are, and your belief system should be that, and really helping people to see that there is something special about what you do that also helps or aids something or aids a problem or solves a problem, whatever your product or your service is. If you own a laundromat, you do solve a problem. So now, instead of just saying, oh, well, I've only got a laundromat, what am I going to do with that? Well, why can't you try to, you know, make your laundromat stand for something? Why don't you give it some values? Why don't you start trying to create a culture that makes people say, hey, this is the best laundromat in town. I have to go to that one. You know, just whatever you do, no matter how big or how small, whether you're just a garbage collection man or you're a taxi driver, no matter whatever you do, make it stand for something. Make it be that your name is synonymous with something that is more powerful and more successful, that helps you to punch above your weight, to become something more. Because when people are encountering you, you want them to think, he is worth the money, she is worth the money. I know it's a bit more, you know, like I was talking to a company today and I'm looking to buy a service. Now the company I'm actually going to buy from is 50% more expensive than the company that I had an alternative to buy from. But I really like the woman at the company. So it's like, I really just want to buy the product from them. And it's exactly the same product, precisely the same product. But I'm going to spend 50% more because I really like the way that this next company dealt with me. I feel that they would take care of me as I grow my business. So, you know, it just gives you an example. That's just a straight example there from something that happened to me earlier on today. It's just really about your brand standing for something that people are able to assign a value to it and say, hey, yeah, this is worth something. You know, this is something that I would like to invest in. And people need to look at what they spend with you as an opportunity to gain something bigger than the money that they lose when they buy with you. So people need to look at what you do as an investment. And the only way to do that is to really ensure that they see your brand bigger than just you saying, hey, we're great. You know, get yourself in the newspapers, get yourself on TV, get yourself in magazines, and do as much of it as you possibly can without cost. And I'll go as far as to say this, like I tell people when I'm speaking on stage and I do my seminars worldwide, I tell people this, I don't pay for advertising. As much marketing as I have had, as much magazine spreads, newspapers, all the rest, I don't pay any of it. Because I've developed my brand enough that people want to interview me. People want to put me in their newspapers and in their magazines. People want me on their radio shows. People are contacting us all the time trying to organize when can we have her. And the only way you're ever going to get to that point, which will help your brand because your customers are going to see that, and the more they see it, kind of like the stock market, the more stuff that happens, the more confidence there is. And so your brand is about developing confidence and making sure that people look at you and go, oh, well, that person must be all right because I've seen them on the newspapers and I've seen them in magazines and I've seen them on TV and my friend told me about them, etc. All of that helps to develop your brand and let people see that you are valuable and something that they should pay and invest in.
That is so powerful, Marcia. And what you do is so powerful. So tell us a little bit about why what you do is so powerful and so unique. How have you made it that way?
Well, I just think that the only other alternative is to be wishy-washy. Why is what I do so powerful? It's because I solve problems. You know, somebody comes to me and says to me, Marcia, my company has $30,000 left in the bank account. We are hemorrhaging money. We don't have the clients paying. We have this, that issue. They're coming to me saying, Marcia, solve my problem, because they know I can solve that. If somebody comes to me and says, oh, Marsha, I'm starting up a new business, but I'm really not sure which direction to take it, or Marsha, I need to make more money in my company and I'm not sure what strategies to use. Or in my consultancy business, somebody may come and say to me, I've had this issue with my reputation and I need to figure out how to rescue my reputation before it goes down the pan. Now, there's all these areas, and everything I just said was somebody coming to me with a problem and saying, this is what my problem is. Can you help me solve it? And so what I do is so powerful because I help to solve problems with pinpoint strategies and practical things that people can go off and do that will make the difference, point blank. And the reason I'm worth every penny that I charge is because when somebody pays me a dollar, they know that from the investment that they've made, they can go back and make $7 to $15 from what they've made on that dollar investment. So it's about being able to go away with a solution to a problem. And what I do is so powerful is because I'm very serious about presenting solutions and kicking people up the backside when they're not doing what I've told them to do. Because if people implement what I'm saying, it works.
And that is powerful. That is why your message is so powerful. So, Marsha, tell me, how do you hope to, like, from a more strategic or global perspective or almost, you know, as a legacy, how do you hope to inspire others with your message and with all of the amazing services and programs you offer? What do you hope that looks like for you, you know, in a bigger picture?
The bigger picture for me and what I've worked with my husband Simon on doing is, my goal is this, is I want to work with 5,000 families. Now, I'm sure that number will grow as I get to that, but I have to focus on what's in front of me. And my goal is to help 5,000 families become not just financially stable, not just financially comfortable, but also to really work as a family unit. I didn't have a family unit, really. I mean, my mom has got loads of brothers and sisters. My mom's one of 10. So, yes, I have got extended family, but in the household, we didn't really have that. And what I really want to do is my mission in life for me is to help 5,000 families to become more interfused, more interlinked, work together. I feel that there are so few families who have a family business, who have something where they're not depending on a job or this person or that person to help keep the food on the table. Families, husbands and wives who break up, boyfriends, girlfriends who break up because the money is not there and then it causes stress in other areas and there's not enough time invested with the family. My husband and I work together and we have worked together for like nearly a decade nonstop. We're together all the time, like all day, every day, unless I'm traveling. And even then, we travel together. So, and, you know, he's got his own side of the businesses that we deal with, but we really work and we gel together, and it's a family unit. So I really wanted to help people, and my goal is to help people to pull together a family unit. And mom and dad, if it's mom and dad, if it's just mom or if it's just dad, it doesn't matter, but the kids have to be involved. It's not just the parents. I've spent years training parents and years training the adults. But what I want to do, my mission is to work with the entire family and work with 5,000 families. So we've got the kids are in there helping to contribute, the parent or parents there helping to contribute, and the whole family starts a business together, build it together, get to know each other, build the spiritual, the financial, the social, and, you know, all those areas of life, and really become something that's really amazing and become self-sufficient as a family and not relying on anybody to give them their chances of success. I want them to be able to do it, and I want parents to be able to put their kids in college and not be stressing for 20 years, you know, how they're going to afford it. I want parents not to have to say to their kids, sorry, we can only go to McDonald's tonight. We can't go to Olive Garden because there's no money. You know, I don't want people going into the supermarket like I used to go into the supermarket with a calculator before they had calculators on phones. Going back a bit. But, you know, not having to go into the supermarket with a calculator and trying to figure out if you've got enough to make it through the cash point, you know, through the checkout. So that's my thing. I really want to work with 5,000 families, and I'll continue doing all the other things that I do and growing all my other businesses and investing with other people who want to grow their business and move forward. And I've got loads of opportunities to do that, and people are interested in that, they can contact me about solving problems and so on. But that's the mission for me. That's what I'm, my heart is there. I'm passionate about that.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And so you've inspired so many others, and you will continue to do that with all of the projects that you have going forward. But tell me, what inspires you truly down to your heart and soul?
I'd say people who win. I like the underdog because I feel like I'm the underdog. I've always felt like I was the underdog. I've been raped. I've been abused. I've been in homes. Teachers gave up on me, kicked out of so many schools, beaten up and nearly killed. I've had business failures, especially when I was 20, when I had my first business failure at 20 from the business I started when I was 17. And I always had so many different setbacks and things that worked against me. So people who win and who fight and who overcome, that inspires me because there is something in man, you know, in humans, men or women, that just really, I find it intriguing that there is something that is like a fight gene, that no matter how much you've been knocked down, that there is something in you that can be stronger and that can continue going and can continue to develop. And I really feel that that is absolutely integral to inspiring others, inspiring yourself, and it definitely inspires me. And I love to see people who think differently, especially about marketing and especially about sales. I learn from marketing and things like that from the most obscure and odd places. And just people who think differently and who kind of buck the trend, I find that because that's kind of been me my whole life. So, yeah, I like to see the underdog win. I'll always root for the underdog because I felt like I was always the underdog.
Oh, that's so fantastic. And in order to really fuel us into action, is there something that you do for yourself or recommend for your clients that's like an exercise or a tip or something that we can do to move directly into that win situation?
Yeah, I would say I'm kind of split because I have two sides of me on this one. The tip that I would say is if you're not already an expert and seen as an expert, you have to become one. And you have to shout it from the rooftops and get everybody else to shout it from the rooftops and have endorsements from people who are credible. Define and redefine yourself in the eyes of what your clients need and what they want. Creating products and services and growing your business will never be difficult if you do that. And the whole thing about what you could really do is, besides really growing yourself as an expert, I recommend definitely finding a mentor or somebody who can help you to connect the dots, because majority of our lives are spent trying to figure out what the path is that we should take. How do we do this? But what if this happens? But I did this, but now I'm stuck. So most of our life is trying to figure it all out. And so if you have people who are ahead of you and, you know, not just somebody you'd be down with at the bar and just talking about life and complaining, I'm talking about people who are really successful, who are ahead of you in different areas that you want to get into, and just align yourself with a really good mentor, whether that's me or whether that's somebody else. Just align yourself with a mentor, and that will help you to get where you need to be, because I could give you a piece of advice today, and you'll run with it, but at some point you're going to get stuck because something else is going to come up, and you're always going to need people who can help you as you progress. So that would be what I would say, you know, get some mentors in your life, read like crazy on your subject matter. Don't make excuses for being lackadaisical in your education. Get educated, keep reading, keep understanding more, stay on the cutting edge of your industry so people do define you and see you as, hey, you're on the cutting edge, because nobody wants somebody who's given them strategies from 5 years ago. So stay on the cutting edge, redefine yourself, become an expert, attract great people into your team, and that includes your staff, as well as attracting really good mentors into your life. These are things that you can do within the, you know, start doing within the next 24 hours. Really start aligning yourself. And if you get stuck on bits, you know, find me on Twitter and ask me questions. I'm happy to do that, to answer that.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much. Marcia, tell me what's next for you.
I'm working on a couple of TV projects, and I'm working on, there's two books of my own that I'm working on. One is called Shut Up, Doug, which talks about that internal book that we tell you about. So I'm really looking forward to writing that book, because it's like I've been writing the first book, which is actually Things My Mentor Taught Me. And it's actually, it's not things that my mentor taught me, Marcia, but when somebody picks up the book is actually your mentor. So there's different lessons there that you can learn. And now you're the person who's saying things that my mentor taught me. So that was the concept behind that book. But as I was writing that book, I started to explain a little about how Doug works with me. And so I really feel like I'm writing this book now called Shut Up Doug to teach people how to shut that voice up so you can focus on doing what you got to do, because it's the most distracting thing that, you know, you can cut your phone off, you can switch off your phone, you can switch off your Facebook, you can switch off all this stuff, but Doug does never shut up. Doug is always talking. He's irritating. He's always talking. So, you know, and trying to distract you from becoming who you want to be. So I'm writing Things My Mentor Taught Me. I'm also writing Shut Up, Doug. So those are my books that I'm working on. And I'm also working on my TV network, which is a big dream of mine. We've had this dream since about 98, 99 to start a TV network and really have programming that is for the aspiring and upwardly mobile people. And so it's very exciting. It's called The Right TV Network. And so we're really developing that and a couple of other TV ideas as well. So we're kind of working on those, and we've got some other media stuff that we're involved in, and I'll continue to do more investments in businesses and really helping people more with my consultancy business and also my training businesses. So, yeah, that's kind of the stuff that's going on for me at the moment.
Oh, such a busy lady, but never too busy to help others. And I'd like you to share with everyone who's listening to this where they can find out more about you and connect with all of your magnificent programs and all of the amazing things you do.
Well, first of all, before I give that, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's listening, because I know that it's difficult sometimes to carve out time to continue developing yourself. So I just want to applaud you for that. And Vicky, I also want to thank you for interviewing me and taking the time to do that. So that's the first thing that I would like to do. On the back of that, I would also like to say that I am absolutely happy to continue sharing what I know through the different ways that I do it. If you want to get in contact with me on Twitter, my Twitter name is my name, Marsha Wright, which is MarshaWright. So it's twitter.com/MarshaWright. And also the second place to get hold of me is, and to be in touch with what I'm doing, there's some amazing stuff that I'm in the process of doing at the moment that will help all kinds of entrepreneurs and people who are really trying to develop and grow yourself in different areas. So you can always go and find out more information from Marsha Wright, which is MarshaWright.com. And there you'll also be able to find out about my Tycoon Blueprint, the Tycoon DNA, and also some of my other internship programs. And also, if you feel like maybe you need some support to growing your business or developing your business, just go ahead and get in contact. Maybe tweet me or get in contact via my website with email, and I'd be happy to help you. Loads of resources on my website as well, freebies and all kinds of stuff. So definitely utilize those. Those are definitely good help.
Marsha, thank you so much for the generosity of your time and for all of these wonderful resources and for being with us today. It's just been phenomenal.
Thank you so much for having me. It really has been my pleasure, and I hope people can get a lot from it.
And if anyone would like to learn more about Expert Insights Family of Opportunity or publishing, broadcasts, and community opportunities, you can reach us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And again, Marsha, thank you so much. Have just a wonderful week.
You too. Thank you.
For more information about the award-winning book, Ready, Aim, Influence, visit expertinsightspublishing.com. Be sure to join us next Thursday and have a great week.